Good morning. Good morning. Good night. We're going to learn a new song this morning. Let's stand together and sing this morning. It's called At Your Name.
At Your Name, the mountains shake and crumble. At Your Name, the oceans roar and tumble. At Your Name, angels will bow, the earth will rejoice, Your people cry.
Shake hands with somebody around you. Just say, I'm glad to see you at church this morning.
Good times and bad, You are on Your throne. unchangeable. You're unshakable. You're unstoppable. That's what you are. You're unchangeable. You're unshakable. You're unstoppable. That's what you are. You're the only God whose power none can contend. You're the only God whose name and praise will never end. You're the only God who's worthy of everything we can give. You are God, and that's just the way it is. Time began. You are on your throne. You are God alone. And right now, in the good times and bad, you are on your throne. You are God alone. And right now, in the good times and bad, you are on your throne. You are God alone.
Aren't you glad in the good times and the bad that He is always on the throne no matter what else happens in our lives? You can be seated. Let's continue worshiping the Lord this morning. God is always on His throne.
We are a moment. You are forever. Lord of the ages, God before time. We are a vapor. You are eternal. Love everlasting, reigning on high. Holy, holy Lord God Almighty, worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Highest praise.
Sang it a couple of weeks ago as a duet. It's called Broken Vessels. Let's sing it together this morning. If you don't know it, you can learn it with us.
All the pieces broken and scattered, in mercy gathered, mended and whole. Empty-handed, but not forsaken. I've been set free. I've been set free. Amazing grace. sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Oh, I once was lost, but now I am found. Was blind, but now I see. Oh, I can see you now. Oh, I can see the love.
Speak to hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
All right. I would like to recognize a couple this morning. If Ruth and Lloyd would stand up for a moment. Ruth and Lloyd, take a stand up. Now, I want everybody to look at Ruth and Lloyd here. If you need any marriage advice, this is the couple I want you to go to. Married 70 years is their anniversary. 70 years. Okay. They got married when they were 10. No, she said 21 and 25, I think. what it was. They're 91 and 95 now, so that is just a great testimony to hanging in there and being married. So if you need any marriage advice, that's the couple to talk to. That is amazing. So happy anniversary to you both. It's great to be in the house of the Lord today. We're going to start a new series today called Kiss. Not the rock band, not keep it simple, stupid, but Keep It Simple, Saints. It's a message to the church. It's a message directly to First Baptist Church Mountain Grove as we look to the future as to where God would lead us. It will be a message of vision as we move throughout the next coming weeks of how I believe as a church we can keep it simple and accomplish greater things. So turn with me to Matthew chapter 28. As you're turning there, I'm returning from vacation. My wife and I spent a week away as she's preparing to start a new school year. We wanted to grab a few days, go up, see the grandchildren, and then drive on out to see the Ark. And if you ever get a chance to do that, I encourage you to do that. It's an amazing experience. Spend the day there going through all three levels of the Ark and just revisiting the story of Noah. So it was an amazing visit. But before I left my second daughter's house, I leaned down to her belly, because she's 9 months pregnant, due in two weeks, and I said to my granddaughter, "Now, Ariana, if you would like and you're ready, come on out." And so while we were at the Ark, my daughter delivered her first child, our fourth grandchild. And so we're excited. It was a great vacation, but also just a great time as a family to celebrate new life, new beginnings, and new births. And I'm glad to know that my granddaughter takes my advice and came on out. All right, so turn with me then to Matthew 28, and also look at Acts chapter 1. Put your finger in chapter 28, flip over to Acts chapter 1. Going back to Matthew 28, beginning with verse 19, it says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Then if you flip over to Acts chapter 1, look at verse 8. "But you shall receive power from on high, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to all the end of the earth." That's what happens when you start quoting from memory, because that's another verse in Luke, power from on high. But let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your word today, and we thank you for the mission, the commission that you've given us as a church. We thank you, Father, for the opportunity to partner together as disciples, reaching more disciples. And so, Father, just be with us today as we get into your word and look at the simplicity of the mission, although the work is hard. Equip us, help us realize that you have equipped us. Help us to realize the power behind this mission. That it is not a mission impossible, it's a mission possible. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. It is a mission possible because you remember the last time we were together, we were closing a series in Philippians, and we looked at that verse in Philippians 4:13 that says, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." So we learned the bottom line that whatever we face, whatever we need to walk through, whatever challenges are before us, we can do anything. We can do all things, everything through Christ, no matter what we face in life. And so it would make sense that would also apply to the mission that he has given us. I was listening to the radio on the way this morning, and there was an artist singing a song that just kind of plugged in with the idea that I wanted to communicate today on keeping it simple. He wrote a song, said, "I want to go back." It says, "When I was a kid, I was sure I could run across the ocean, and I was going to be an astronaut. When it was you and it was me, I had everything I needed. Faith could even move a mountaintop. But then I grew up, and then I got older. Then my life got tough, and we grew apart. I want to go back. I want to go back to Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. To this little light, I'm going to let it shine. Going to let it shine. I want to go back. I want to go back. I want to go back to the mission that Jesus left us with as he prepared to ascend to the Father. I want to go back to picking up where he left off as he commissioned his disciples and as he commissioned the church to make disciples. I want to go back to the simplicity of the mission that he has given us. I think throughout generations we have put a lot of things into church that gets us very busy, but it also makes life even more difficult. And in our adult lives, I think we get so involved in tight schedules that we make things difficult. We crowd our lives with so much. You know, I've been at this church a year and a half now, and there's a question that comes up from time to time, and where it says, what is your vision? What is your vision? I want you to know, the truth is, I don't have a vision. I have a goal. I don't have a vision that I impart to you that says this is what it is. I help you come to that vision. I am called to equip you to see the vision and the mission that has been here all along, and to revive that vision. So I bring nothing new to the church except new energy, new direction, new leadership. And with my leadership as your pastor, I wanted you to see that Jesus Christ has laid out for us already a vision statement. And it's my job to help you see what that vision statement is, and then to equip you as a body through the leadership of our church to fulfill that vision. I believe that over generations we made the church and belonging to the church more difficult than it was ever intended. So this series, KISS, Keep It Simple Saints, will be my attempt to share God's plan for growth. Not church growth, but kingdom growth, so that we might grow the kingdom of God, which will actually affect very directly church growth. But throughout the 80s, there was such an emphasis on how do we make our church bigger, and I'm talking about nationally. I wasn't here in the 80s. But there was such an emphasis in the church on growth. How do we make our church bigger? And I think we need to ask the question is, how can we win one more for Jesus Christ and make the kingdom of God bigger? How can we add to the kingdom? And in order to grow, we need a vision, and even more important, we need to understand what that vision is and how we implement it. So today I want to talk to you about what the vision is, what the mission is. Our vision is found in Matthew 28, 19 and 20. And if we'll look at that again, let's look at the imperatives that are found in this verse. What we're told to go and do. It starts out with go. Go implies movement, action. It's a verb. We're to go, therefore, and make disciples. Imperative number one, of all nations. Imperative number two, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. We have water in the baptistry today. We have a new disciple in our midst who is going to be baptized. It's part of the process of discipleship. Go, make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And then our third imperative, teaching them to observe all things I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Our vision is to follow a biblical model of outreach and ministry. It's found right here in the commission that he gave us, the mission statement our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ left with us. And not only did he leave us with this mission, he also left us with the power to do it. Because he promises, first of all, we see his authority in verse 18. All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Through the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, not only did he show power over sin and death, he showed ultimate authority. He is God. And so we are, to borrow from the Blues Brothers, on a mission from God. But this is the mission that we're called to do. All authority. And he's given us that power. I am with you always. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Remember from the last time we were together. Here he is again showing us that he is the strength. He is the authority and the strength behind the mission that he's given us to do. So our vision then is to follow this biblical model of outreach and ministry. Our vision then is to see that we, as your church leadership, teach you and equip you. I'm excited for our newest staff member now to be on board with us, Brother Kent and Jim. And you guys are going on an exciting mission here in about a week to do some training in the area of church education. And I know one of the things that you'll be challenged with at this training is the thing that's a very strong emphasis right now in the life of Southern Baptists. And that's what I'm preaching on today, and it's discipleship. They're going to key you right in on how to involve that in the education ministry of the church. Discipleship. It's very simple. It's right here. It's the mission he gave us to do it. But yet, if you do an accurate assessment of the church today, one of the areas you'll hear she's most lacking in is the area of making disciples. We may win people to Christ, and evangelism may be strong, and we may be getting them to the baptism waters, but what do we do with them after we get them wet? What do we do after baptism? That is that third imperative. Teach. Teach. You see, the imperative that rises to the top here is the imperative disciples. Make disciples. So our vision then is to follow a biblical model of outreach and ministry, and that our leadership develop a model that can most effectively and efficiently teach this ministry. And our primary focus should not be on our internal programs, on our committee work, or our events inside the church. Our primary focus is to go, to take it outside of these walls. And we've done things like that recently that you've seen for yourself breathe life into the church as we've gone with ministries like Jerusalem Changers, as we've engaged in our community with a ministry like Garments of Praise, as we're out on the streets with Feed My Sheep. You've seen the energy that is stirred there. And I believe that as we are on the go, we realize that he is with us always, even until the end of the age. Until Jesus comes back, we're to be on the go. So this imperative rises to the top again. We take our minds outside of our programs, events, and committees, and we move our ministry outside these walls, and we take the gospel to the streets, to our community. And we need to change our thinking from the come and see what's going on at my church to the go and tell, to go and make disciples, to develop intentional relationships with unbelievers in which you are modeling discipleship, speaking of Jesus, and building relationships. It is all about that connecting. It's all about that connecting other folks to the kingdom, connecting him to God. So this one imperative rises to the top again, make disciples. The other two, baptize and teach, are steps in the process of making disciples. It's an ongoing process, and it's a circle that never ends. Here, the risen Jesus, with all power and all authority, has commanded us to continue the discipleship-making ministry. So what is our goal? What is our vision? Our goal is to win people to Jesus Christ, to teach them all the truth. Remember, he says, to teach them to observe all the things I've commanded you. And where do we find what Jesus has commanded us? In the Word. Our goal is to reach people, to teach them all that Jesus has taught us, and to teach each other, because, you know, there are people who can sit in the pews for years and not know the depth of the Word of God, not interact with the Word of God on a daily basis. He didn't say, go and make church members. He said, go and make disciples. And so we need to look at what a disciple looks like. Our goal as a church, then, is to win people to Jesus Christ, to teach them all truth found in the Bible, and then go win some more. We have summarized that in three words: connect, grow, go. And if you go to our church website, which is still under construction, but we got a lot of it there now, you will see that logo: connect, grow, go. And you'll see that it's in a circle, which is to imply that it's an ongoing, continuing action. So the short version says this: First Baptist Church Mountain Grove exists to help people connect to Jesus Christ and His church, to grow in our relationship with Christ and each other, and to go on mission sharing Christ in Mountain Grove and throughout the world. And then when you click on that logo, it's going to expand to a bigger explanation or expanding on that vision. Because you see, we believe Mountain Grove First Baptist Church exists to connect people to God. We want to connect individuals with God and to connect them with the church, a family of believers. And we do that through the worship experiences that we have as we come together, through prayer, through Bible study, through fellowship. We believe that relationships are important. And the most important relationship is the one that you and I have with God the Father. That as disciples, the first thing we focus on is, are we connected to God? And I didn't get to hear Jim's message. I know the gist of it last week, but it wasn't working on the internet yet. But I know that he preached on part of this process because he was sharing with me as he was developing his message. That we need to humble ourselves before the Lord and be disciples. We need to connect with Him and make sure that we are connected. It starts right here. If we want to see renewal in our church, if we want to see revival across our land, if we want to see the church to be a mighty force in this community, it starts with drawing a little circle and stepping inside of it and say, start right here. Start with me. Clear my heart of anything that shouldn't be there. Clear my mind of the doubts that fill it every day. Relieve the anxieties that I have built up in myself worrying over things I shouldn't be worried about. Connect with God. Make sure your relationship with Him is spot on. Strengthen that relationship with Him and then let it spread. Get outside of that circle or enlarge that circle. Make it bigger and add another person to disciple. Develop an intentional relationship with an unbeliever and begin to pray with them and speak with them about your relationship with Jesus Christ. Minister to their needs because there are physical needs that need to be met. Be present in their lives, not just to preach at them, but to be Jesus, to be the hands and feet of Jesus. Build relationships and build relationships with each other in the church as we study together and as we grow together, which leads us to that second point in our vision, to grow together, knowing God's word, growing together. If we want to grow as believers, we need to know the one who wrote this book. We need to know the fullness of Christ. We need to know that Jesus is God. And that when we've seen Him, we've seen the Father. We need to know that that same power that rose Him from the grave is the same power that is in us. We need to know the Savior and to be in that relationship with Him. To grow in the knowledge of what the fullness of that relationship is. Because the process of discipleship comes to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. It comes to knowing that Jesus Christ is Lord. And that you believe in your heart that He is the Son of God, that He died on the cross for your sins, that He was raised on that third day so that you could be forgiven of your sins. And becoming a believer, then you know that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord and you believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. As a new believer, you know that when you call upon the name of the Lord, salvation has come to you. But as a new believer, there's a lot of things you don't know yet. And sometimes even seasoned believers don't know because they're not reading the book, the manual that came with the relationship. There's a lot about Jesus we don't know. And there's new things we experience every day because we see for the first time a truth. I've been a believer since I was 9 years old. And God still shows me new things every day, fresh things every day. It's growing together. And how do we grow then together? By becoming a disciple. A disciple, you become a Christian when you call upon the name of the Lord. A Christ follower is the best definition of a disciple. It's someone that follows Him from that point on. It's about discovering His truth, His promises, His power as we dive deep into His word. And part of that grow vision statement is this: great things happen in small groups. So I encourage you that if you're not involved in a small group, if you're not involved in one of our Sunday morning Bible studies, or there's a lady Bible study that meets during the day, during the week, some of our ladies get together. There's a Wednesday night Bible study where some of the other ladies get together. There's our Wednesday night prayer and study here at the church as we pray together and grow together. If you're not involved in something smaller than this larger group, you're missing out on an opportunity to go deeper. And then the third imperative in our vision statement is the go, which matches that Great Commission, to go on mission as we serve together. It may be teaching a Sunday school class, or working in vacation Bible school, or volunteering in a ministry like the Pregnancy Resource Center, or being involved in Feed My Sheep, or volunteering to help with Garments of Praise, or any other mission opportunity that comes up, or ministry opportunity that comes up in the church. But I believe the church needs to become more focused, more ministry-driven than committee-driven, more ministry-driven than eternally-driven. We need to be more outward-focused than inward-focused. We need to be on the go. We in the Mountain Grove First Baptist Church family are impacted by the life-changing power of the gospel, and we realize we must connect, grow, go. Through worship, prayer, Bible study, and serving before we can impact our community with the gospel. I want to talk to you a little bit then about if our vision is to connect, grow, go. In other words, if we have a Matthew 28 vision, if we're to fulfill the Great Commission, then we see the number one imperative there that rises to the top is we're to make disciples. I'm telling you, that's what we're going to work on in the coming months and year. Our emphasis will be on, does this make disciples? Does this make disciples? This is our ministry. Now, that ministry will involve other smaller ministries that contribute to the overall ministry goal of making disciples. And many of the ministries we have in process right now are ministries that do that. But sometimes we get involved in a lot of busyness that doesn't make disciples. You want to ask yourself, is what I'm doing fulfilling that mission, that vision? And so if we're going to make disciples, I wanted to talk to you just a little bit about what does a disciple look like? And some of the material you guys will be introduced to next week will be from Lifeway. Because, you know, Southern Baptist, Lifeway. They got a lot of great discipleship material. And from some of the materials, I lifted out some of the attributes that we're looking for in a disciple. What does an authentic disciple look like? Our goal is to make a disciple. How do we know we've made one? How do we know that we are one? Well, first of all, a disciple is someone who engages in the Bible. They interact with the Word of God. They engage in the Bible. Their mind is sharpened by the Bible. Their perspective is shaped by the Bible. And so as a church, if we want to be disciples and make disciples, that's what we need to do, is to let our perspective, our vision, our goals be shaped by the Bible. We need to be engaged in the Scripture because it is the Word of God that is inspired. It is the Word of God that gives us direction. It's the Word of God that corrects us, rebukes us when we need rebuking, trains us in all righteousness so that the man of God may be complete and equipped in every good work. 2 Timothy 3:16 through 17. A disciple is engaged in the Word of God. A disciple also obeys God, and he makes it all about Jesus and not himself. Discipleship is the process of obedience, and when one submits himself to another authority, we're submitting ourselves to the authority of God's Word and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Transformation can be seen as we progressively set aside our own desires and our own agendas, and we seek His agenda. Luke 9:23 says, "Then he said to them all, if anyone wants to follow after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me." As this continues on the attributes of a discipleship, we see a disciple also serves God and others. That transformation becomes evident in their lives as you see the personal needs and even dreams set aside for the needs of others. Matthew 25:40 says, "And the king will answer them, 'Truly I tell you, whatever you did for the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me.'" Do you ever wonder if feeding my sheep that you might be contributing to the needs of the least of these? Those in need, sometimes we question, why are you in need? We wonder if our help is going to accomplish anything. I believe it is. Because as a disciple, our goal is not to see whether they're worthy of help or not, but to see the need and set aside even our own needs. As an authentic disciple, or one of the attributes of discipleship, is also this: they share Christ. A disciple shares the hope that is in them. They're excited about their relationship with the Lord. I got to see Delbert coming in this morning and say, "How about those Cardinals?" You know, we always had that conversation every Sunday morning. The Cardinals are heating things up. They'd taken the summer off, it looked like, but they're back into the game. So we share that excitement. But you know what a disciple does? He shares the excitement. Man, things are, when we look at what's been going on in the life of our church recently, we're excited about that, and we're sharing that with each other, and we're saying, "Man, did you see that? Did you feel that? What an experience." We share the effects of the gospel on us with others. Because your testimony is your story. And as you share your story, other people see how Christ can also make a difference in their life as well. Transformation is evident in a disciple when they begin to talk about the source of that transformation. "But in your hearts regard Christ the Lord as holy, ready at any time to give a defense to anyone who asks you for the reason of the hope that is in you," 1 Peter 3:15. A disciple also exercises faith. Transformation is seen when believers set aside their fears or their anxieties or the risk that it sometimes takes to be obedient to the will of God. When have we really taken risk in our lives? It's a rhetorical question, but just kind of take an inventory in your mind right now. When's the last risk you took for the cause of the gospel? When's the last time you did something that seemed a little bit out of there and was a risk? You didn't really know how things would work out. I'm telling you, a disciple gets tested on that on a regular basis. "I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." Galatians 2:19-20. An authentic disciple has the attribute, too, of seeking God. See, transformation is seen when our desire is to know more God more deeply and experience his life more fully. We never get enough of God. We're always wanting to know more, experience more. We want to be real in our faith. Going to church is one of the most boring things you can do. Yes, I said that on the radio too. But being the church is one of the most exciting things you can be. He didn't call us to go to church. He called us to be the church. You saw that on my Facebook post already this week if you follow me on Facebook. I want to go deeper. Matthew 6:33 says, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be provided for you." One of my favorite all-time athletes is Kurt Warner. And he wrote a book, and he talked about first things first. You'd see him doing this, you know, at sporting events. And you know that his faith is authentic. And you even experience that more as you read his book and you follow his life. He kept first things first. Building relationships is another thing a disciple does. Our faith is personal, but it's not intended to be private. Sometimes we are the best undercover Christians in the world. Our faith was never intended to be kept to ourselves. It's something we must share, and we share it not by just going out there and screaming from the street corner, although there is a place for that and times for that. But the most effective way to share your faith is through the building of relationships. People want to know you care, that you do genuinely care for them. Our horizontal relationships should be developed out of our vertical relationship with God our Father. Transformation occurs when relational maturity is evident in our lives. Acts 2:42 says they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Acts 2:42. Build relationships. Get involved in the life flow of the church. And an attribute of the disciple is unashamed. Unashamed. Transformation is evident when a believer is unashamed in presenting his or her own life with being aligned with Christ. I got a shirt. It's a black shirt. I should have worn it today. That says, "I am a Fred." And on the back of it, it says, "Are you?" You know, it's just one of those funny shirts my kids got me because they saw it somewhere. But are we willing to wear the shirt that says, "I am a Christian" on the back? Are you? Are we not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, as Romans 1:16 says? For it's the power of God unto salvation. There was a company called Witnesswear years ago that I began to pick up a few t-shirts from, and it reminded me of how we need to be authentic in our discipleship. Because if you're wearing that shirt, or if you have the bumper sticker, or you have the fish symbol on the back of your car, be sure you're being Christian all the time. Because there's a time when somebody may look at you and say, you know, what you're saying and doing doesn't jive with the shirt that you have on. I may have told this story before, but I remember when I was driving for a delivery company in Kansas City, and I was in seminary, and, you know, city traffic, the lanes, it's like you've got a jockey for your position, and it's like you're in the Indy 500, you know, except sometimes you do get to make a right turn. And you're out there in this traffic, and things are just crazy. And you get a little aggressive in times like that, you know, and you jockey for your position. And so I'm in the delivery van. I usually behave pretty well when I'm in a delivery van that has my phone number on it, because I know I could, you know, be in trouble. If I'm in my private car, then I might be more tempted to sin at times. I've done that, where I've developed an attitude about the stupid drivers around me and didn't realize I was the one being stupid. Okay, but we do that, right? Amen? Huh? Anybody? Okay, just me? Am I the only one that ever does? Okay, but anyway, I'm out in traffic, and I'm see that the lanes are narrowing down to one lane because of construction. And you know it never fails. You do the right and godly thing, and you get in your slow lane, and there's somebody coming down the outside lane. Phew! Another one comes down. Phew! So there's a strategy. You may have seen it out on the highway where you kind of just move over a little bit, and you block that lane so people can't fly by. So I did a little bit of that. Just a little bit. And then I moved back over, and a guy laid on his horn and gave me the international sign of friendship with a hand gesture. And as he went by, I looked on the back of his bumper sticker, and it said, "Good news, Missouri. God loves you." Now, this was back in the 80s, and there was a revival emphasis going throughout all Southern Baptist churches, you know, called "Good News, Missouri. God loves you." And so it just struck me. Now, I'm in seminary studying the ministry, you know, and I'm already pastoring a small church, and it just hit me like, wow, there's a message there. If we're going to wear the bumper sticker, we need to make sure our discipleship is authentic. And we need to wear the bumper sticker. I mean, we need to have the shirt. And it may not be the literal shirt, but our lives need to not be ashamed of the fact that we're a Christian. And in this world today, it's not popular to be that in every place at all times. But do not be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew and also to the Greek. Romans 1:16. Our mission, should we choose to accept it, is to make disciples. It's wrapped up in our vision statement. So be very familiar with it. And let's go on that mission. Our job, our goal this year is to make disciples. And if I need to grow in my discipleship, which we all do, I'm going to grow in my discipleship. But I'm going to take somebody else along with me on the journey. I believe this process will engage more of us to go deeper in the life of the church and the mission of the church. And so I want to challenge you, especially today, to go deep. I want to challenge you to be a disciple. As our baptism candidate prepares for baptism, I'm going to go ahead and dismiss you guys so you can get ready, and I'll be up there to join you shortly. From this point on in the service, I'm going to turn it over here in just a moment to Pastor Jim. But before I do that, I want to lay out a challenge. Are you the church? Not do you go to church, not are you attending First Baptist Church Mountain Grove, but are you the church? Are you an authentic disciple? If not, you can say, well, I've been going to this church for 20 years. That's not what I'm asking you. I'm glad you've been here for 20 years. And I know we've got people who've been here for years, been faithful, strong supporters, and actively involved in ministry. But I also know as a pastor, with over 35 years of pastoral experience, that there are always pew warmers sitting it out on the bench, not getting into the game. And they're listening and attending, but they're not being the church. And they know that there's more to it than what they're experiencing. You know, I played basketball in high school, not a whole lot. I did mostly sitting on the bench passing water bottles down to the guys who were better at it than I was. But occasionally, I got into the game. But you know what? I loved the game. I loved to play basketball. I could have gone pro, except I lacked talent and height. Okay, so those two things kept me from going pro, not my knees. But I wanted to. If I could have, I would have, because I love basketball. I wanted to be in the game. Put me in, coach. And sometimes I think you're sitting there and you're wanting in the game, but you're not quite sure how to get involved. And sometimes the church has even made it difficult. Like I said, we've made church more difficult than what it should be. Put me in. Put me in. Where can I serve? What can I do? Look for it, because you're going to have opportunity to. We are going on a mission. And you're going to be invited to join in with that. Not sit back and watch, but to jump in and do, and then let the fun begin. Let's pray. Father God, I pray that if there be one person here today that needs to go deeper in their relationship with you, that they'll take this opportunity right now to commit their lives to discipleship, to being a disciple and making disciples. And Father, I pray for that one person that may be here today who has never given their life to you, has never become a discipleship, has never committed to their life to follow Jesus, that they'd make that decision today. Today, I have decided to follow Jesus. Today, I receive his gift of salvation for the forgiveness of my sins. And I make him Lord and leader of my life. Amen.
Come just as you are, hear the Spirit call. Come just as you are, come and see,
come and see,
come receive,
come receive,
come and live,
come and live
forever. Spirit
receive
Christ the King.
Christ the King.
Come and live.
Be seated. Let's sing 10,000 Reasons.
Bless the Lord, O my soul, O my soul. Worship His holy name. Sing like never before, O my soul. I'll worship your holy name. The sun comes up, it's a new day dawning. It's time to sing your song again. Whatever may pass and whatever lies before me, let me be singing when the evening comes. Bless the Lord, O my soul, O my soul. Worship His holy name. Sing like never before, O my soul. I'll worship your holy name. In love and your slow to anger, your name is great and your heart is kind. For all your goodness I will keep on singing. 10,000 reasons for my heart to find. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Worship His holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul. I'll worship your holy name. And my time has come, still my soul sings your praise unending. 10,000 years and then forevermore. Bless the Lord, O my soul, O my soul. Worship His holy name. His holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul. I'll worship your holy name. I'll worship your holy name.